Real quick before we start the show, I just wanted to let you guys know that this is going to be another Greatest Hits episode. We do have a bunch of stuff planned before the end of the year. We're going to be rolling out a holiday episode as well, so stay tuned for that. And yeah, enjoy the show again. All right, guys, here you go.
Hey, guys, welcome back to Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And today, our guest is JP King Japes.
Was Gucci.
Hi.
Hey.
All right, so today I thought we would talk about challenging ourselves and staying inspired through our work. But before we do that, Jonathan,
yeah,
how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So, my name is Jonathan Progus, or King Japes, JP for short. I'm a 19-year-old film shooter, I guess you could say, and based out of the SF Bay Area. And yeah.
How'd you get started shooting film?
Shooting film, well, there's this skater dude, he's a vlogger on YouTube named Del Decker, and I think Tim has like collabed with him before, right?
I sent him a camera. I saw that he was into film photography, and I was like, dude, here, use this, because I'm not using it. And he gave me a shout out on his channel. It was really cool.
Nice.
Dope. But so yeah, I was watching his vlogs before I ever got into film, and then one of his like hobbies were to go out and shoot a film camera. And he actually started that whole like Minolta gang thing for me, because that was like where my obsession came in when I first saw his SRT-101. And then after that, I got my own film camera, and then it's been a hell of a ride since then.
For real.
That's so awesome that we got, I don't want to age Timothy and myself, but got a little youngster on our hands shooting film. That's really cool. You also do a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Right.
One of the things that I saw on your channel recently that kind of like sparked the idea for the challenging yourself topic today was I've never heard of this. I don't know if any of our listeners have, but the 10-10-10-6 challenge. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So on a trip out to Seattle with my girlfriend, when you go out to shoot, sometimes it's hard to, you know, just make photos, especially when you're not feeling it or you're not like in that zone, that vibe. And so one of the challenges that I tried to do was a 10-10-10-6 challenge, which was basically taking 10 portraits, 10 street photos, 10 macro, and then like 6 random photos. And then you're just trying to finish the roll, just going out there and trying to shoot everything that I see that kind of relates to whatever I was shooting at that time.
So when you do that, do you go out and shoot it all, like all at once? Or do you say like, okay, if the first 10 are landscapes, but the second 10 are portraits, do you like wait on it and kind of say like, okay, these are the people I want to get portraits of, and let me see if they're available, let me see if I can go over and get the, or do you kind of just ask for portraits on the street? How's that?
Well, that's the hard part when you do this challenge, because you'll see something on the street you want to capture, but you're in the middle of the 10 portraits and you're like, snap, like how am I going to keep track of this? And so one of the things that I did was I just, even though I seen something that I really wanted to take, I would try to stay on the topic of whatever I was shooting at that time. So I think I started off with like 10 street, and then I asked people on the street for, hey, can I take a portrait of you? And they're like,
that's
sure.
That's so cool. See, that's like, you know, getting yourself out of like, for me, like street photography, I'm intimidated by that aspect of like just taking pictures of people without asking, or like going up to people and asking for a portrait. Right. So like that challenge I think would be a lot for me. Like, okay, you did your 10 landscape, now it's your 10 of people, so go over and ask for, you know, like, but that's how we get better, is by doing stuff like this, you know?
Yeah.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. I think pushing yourself out of your comfort zone is like the best way to learn something.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for me, taking a different camera or like an older camera, like if you take something that looks weird, you know, like I shot an entire project on or with my RB67, and everybody wants to call it a Hasselblad. Like anytime I take like that camera around, they're just like, oh man, is that a Hasselblad? And I'm like, no, it's not. It's actually, it's a Mamiya. But like having something like that is kind of like a beacon to make shooting street portraits a lot easier, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Chris, you should load up your Pentax or something. Did you say you got it fixed?
Yeah, it's fixed. It's fixed and ready to go. I'm super excited. I was just looking at old, you know, the few rolls that I did put through it, and I was like, damn, medium format is where it's at. What am I doing?
Wait, what Pentax is it?
I have that 6.45.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a beast.
It is. That's one of the reasons why I don't take it out so much. You know, small, like I like compact, small little hands.
Right.
But that negative is just like, gorgeous.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I was lugging the RB around. I was just like, why am I torturing myself carrying this thing? But then, you know, developing the role and seeing that the images that it produces, it's like, okay, that's why.
This is why, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember taking out the Yashica mat. You know, it's a TLR. Mm. And like you said, it's like a beacon. People are just like drawn to it, yep. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And they're always
yeah.
like interested.
Yeah. I just did one of my recent videos was shooting with my TLR, my Yashica A. Uh-huh. And the guy came running out of this deli and was like, I want to say like the awesome camera. Like, that's so cool. Is that film? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I could have easily been like, oh, let me get one of you real quick.
Yeah.
And I didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I went shooting with my friend Argish, and he is so good about like, oh, could you? Because people are like, what are you guys doing? Like, because we had our film camera, he had his Leica, and people just want to talk to you. And he was like, oh, can I get your picture? I think she said no though, but just even asking, like, all they could do is say no, you know? Like, okay, thanks anyway.
I have a real problem with asking. I'm a taker, and I know a lot of people frown on that. A lot of people frown on the old, and I, you know, I'm not specifically out there trying to catch somebody in an awkward moment, but I just like, you know, it's like shoot first, apologize later, whatever that saying is. That's kind of, I mean, I'm always trying to be respectful with my photography. I'm not out trying to make somebody look bad or in a compromising position, but, you know, catching somebody when they don't know what's going on is so you get such like a more, you get more out of it. I feel like, you know, when you ask somebody for a photo, it's so posy and just like, you know, everybody's reaction to that is to smile or like put their arm around their friend or something like that, you know, and that's not the kind of shots I'm looking for. So I try to do a little more of the shoot now, ask or apologize later kind of thing.
Like you're saying, like, it's kind of like a more generic approach. You're just capturing them in their natural state, right?
Yeah.
And that's what you mean by like getting that, you get more out of it.
Mm-hmm.
100% agree.
I mean, there are tricks to it too, of like, if you do ask people for a photo, kind of like doing like a countdown and pulling the trigger on two instead of three, or you know, take the posed photo, and then when they kind of let their guard down after that, then you take a shot, you know, like there's ways around getting past the posy part. But you know, I definitely think, I think it was one of your recent videos, you were talking about working the scene, and I wish I did that more. That goes back to kind of just like challenging yourself and just like remembering, like keeping that in the back of your mind and being like, you know, I can get more out of this. Like if I move to this angle, or if I wait until that person turns their head instead of getting a back of their head shot,
right.
You know, maybe they'll turn to the left or something and you'll get a nice profile shot, or, you know, there's just, you just got to be a little patient.
On that topic, there's actually a way you can challenge yourself when doing stuff like that, like taking like candids and portraits like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of like the 10 yes and 10 no challenge?
No.
Okay, so basically you go out on the street with your camera and you ask people 10 times if you can take their picture. If they say yes, snap a photo of them. Later on, after you take the 10 yeses, you go over and you ask people who say no, or that answered you and say no. So you ask them, hey, can I take a picture of you? And they say no. And with that, sometimes some of the reactions will be like covering their face with the camera, or with their hands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like trying to push the camera away, and it gets these really interesting like shots. And so that's kind of like another challenge you can do, you know, asking people like, hey, can I take a picture of you? They say no, and they try to push you away. You snap the photo anyway. You know what I mean? And try to get some really
interesting
shots.
That sounds dangerous.
Man.
A little dangerous.
Well, I mean, do you guys ever check out any of Bruce Gilden, I think his name is, Bruce Gilden's work? He's the guy that like runs around with the flash and the Leica and is just like in people's faces all the time.
Whoa.
I mean, I've seen some of his images. I highly suggest, if you're into like street photography and just not giving a, you know what? You should definitely look up Bruce Gilden, and his like mentality of the whole thing is just crazy. Like, he is one of those like shoot now, apologize mm-hmm. later kind of people, but he does it with a flash, so it's like super dramatic yeah. and like crazy oh,
that's
looking. You know
that's gonna
I mean?
Be really cool.
Dude, it's I can't even imagine the guts, and he does it in New York City, so it's like. He's like asking to fist fight people on a regular basis.
Does he like do it and run? Like, thank you.
No, man. He is just like, he goes up. I mean, he's quick with it. You know what I mean? Like, he'll throw his camera up, take the shot, and he's like holding the flash and the camera and just being like, boom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it's, there's another guy too. I think he's from like Pittsburgh or something. I forget what his name is. He's another one that just is like, no filter with that, just goes up and just pops people and gets some of the most amazing photographs I've ever seen in my life. You know, stuff that just looks insane.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, when you amplify that with a flash, you know, everybody looks crazy
yeah.
with like
yeah, yeah.
flashlight on. So
with Chris, like what you were saying, Chris, like you kind of like take the photo and just run away.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I was like, I feel like in New York City, because it's more busy, like people like walk for a reason, like they're going to maybe work
or
trying to get home,
yeah.
so busy. I feel like it's a little easier to shoot in a more like fast paced environment. But like if you're out somewhere where I'm living and there's like two people on the street with a flash, like you're gonna get you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And same thing here. I walk, I usually take laps around my downtown, you know, once or twice a Well, actually, probably once or twice a day. You know, I usually go down every day and shoot something if I'm on my way to work or coming home from work or just need to get out of the house for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So my town, I've been doing it for the last like 4 or 5 years. So people are kind of used to seeing me now. Like I'm that guy that's like always walking around with a camera and like, you know, catching people, you know, hanging out by a wall, smoking a cigarette or
yeah.
waiting for you to walk past a certain spot and stuff like that. So you kind of get, I don't know, I get kind of recognized for it now. And it's always good to kind of carry a couple pictures with you, or like if you, Jonathan, you could take your zine, or Chris, same thing. Like
oh, yeah.
pack one of your zines or
yeah.
even some 4x6s in your bag and kind of take them with you and just show people what you're doing so they don't think that you are. I mean, I've got accused of being like a pervert one time because I took a picture of a kid in a stroller, and he wasn't even the focus of the picture. He was just kind of in the fore,
right.
you know, mm-hmm. in the front of it. And a dad blew up on me and was just like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dude, this is what I do. Like, I'm documenting this town. I'm doing like a service for
yeah.
Franklin. Like, this is what I do.
Did he
and
chill?
He
was
care.
He okay? After
oh, no. He threw my camera on the ground and broke it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was brutal. Mm-hmm. Well, he was telling me to erase the picture. He was like, you know, delete the photo. And I'm like, it's on film. And he's like, oh, I don't care. Then take that. Then give me the film. And I was like, no, I can't
yeah.
do that. I was like, it's my right. We're on a sidewalk, you know? And he's like, well, you're not going to have a photo of my kid. And just kept, he was like drunk too. So it was kind of, it was during like a festival weekend here in town. And we kind of fought back and forth. And
which
he got
camera
it
did he smash?
It was a Canon SureShot 80. It was literally a dollar find at the Goodwill.
Okay, good.
And,
but still.
And
Yeah.
Oh man, it messed me up for a minute. Like
yeah.
I was, it took me a couple months to get, you know,
back into it.
Yeah. To not be scared to go shoot again.
Oh, man.
And I mean, I get it. People don't want their pictures taken. They feel like they're being put in like a compromising situation, but that this is what we do.
Right.
So it's kind of
too bad.
You
couldn't be like, okay, I'll delete it and just pretend to like delete it and be like, it's deleted.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He wanted to see me delete it. And his wife's in the street yelling at him to break the camera. She's like, just take that
so
camera.
So the wife was with him. Wasn't it?
Yeah. She, because they were pushing a stroller, and it was him, his wife, a little kid walking, and then a baby in the stroller. And I was shooting. There was 40 people crossing the street. It looked like a mob coming across the
right.
street, and I was like down on my knee shooting up at them. So
yeah.
it was going to be like this, like mob of people coming. It
gotcha.
Was really, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And he just happened to be out in front and thought I was like, you know, perving out on the stroller kid. And it was wild. Like I was really taken back by it, because like everyone else is usually like, oh, there's that guy, he's, you know, oh, we know you,
yeah,
we,
yeah,
we
yeah.
follow you on Instagram, you know. And it's like, oh yeah, cool. And no, not this guy. And I was like, and I was trying to plead with him. I was like, why would I be trying to take pervy pictures of kids on film?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
why
right.
you know, why wouldn't I just take like a point and shoot? I mean, he just wasn't, it wasn't getting through his drunken skull. So,
dang.
Sorry you had to go through that, dude.
Oh, dude, it kind of toughened me up a little bit, you know? Like, it got me... And I don't think that I would let something like that happen again. Like,
right.
I felt like he had beaten me down so hard about it that I kind of thought I was in the wrong. So, but I know that I'm not.
Right.
Like, it's
my
right.
I was going to say, like, that's for your art. Like,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. No way.
And again, like, I'm not... The long-term Franklin project where I live here in Franklin, I'm giving this as a service to the city.
Right.
Like, I'm not, you know, I use some of the photos and I've been done with the project mentally for a long time. I still just do it because I'm here.
Right.
And I want to like document for this town because I see old pictures of Franklin and I love seeing them. You know what I mean? I'm like, I want to leave these behind for these people when I'm not, because I'm not going to live here forever. So like,
right.
I would love for them to have a body of work that I've taken over the, you know, as long as I live here.
It's awesome. Movie,
are you going to show that at all? Like, do you have plans to do like a show?
Yeah. I think so.
Because that'd be really cool.
I did, like, with the Homespun project, like, my book that I did, I printed every single picture from that book, and it's all based on Franklin. Like, it's all stuff in Franklin. And, you know, I want to do, a Homespun 2 or, like, mm-hmm. a, you know, a point 2, but I just... You know how when you do something so long, you just kind of can't look at it anymore. And that's kind of how I feel with that. And like, I don't even have that motivation to walk around town much more anymore. So, but I do it just to make sure that I'm still doing it. You know, like I want to keep it going. You know, I don't want to stop and give up on it because it's a fun project. And it definitely, you know, stuff like that is easy to get into stores here. Like if I want to hang some frame photos, you know, nothing's going to be easier to convince a store
right.
into letting me hang than some Franklin photos, you know.
You're like the Elliot Erwitt of Franklin.
I tried. Boy, did we go like completely off topic there?
No, it's still in the same vein. I mean, even like you getting stuck like that and like being like afraid to go back out and shoot, like even that is like, okay, it's a challenge that like now I have to get over this weird thing,
right.
I feel like what I said, like that's your art and you have to like stand up for it sometimes. Like that's like a great example of like, okay,
yeah.
I mean, if that I'm already somebody who's like intimidated by street photography, but like it's still something I want to do, and I know that like that's like one of the reasons why I think this topic is really cool, because there's things that we can do to like keep us motivated in our art and saying this, I'm going to do this because I've never done it before. I'm going to do this because I'm scared of it. Just like fuels all that stuff.
Yeah.
I actually thought about it. I was like, how do I mentally prepare myself sometimes to get out there and just start taking pictures of people? And I think one of the challenges that I didn't even know I was challenging myself to do this, but I kind of just started doing it. But taking pictures of my relatives or close friends without them looking, it kind of just boosts your confidence, you know? And then,
yeah.
Gets you in that groove. You're just like, okay, if I can do it with them, you know, I can try it out in the street. And that's one of the challenges that I tried to do.
Yeah. And I think it's such a difference. Like, you know, when I'm hired to do a job and like portraits is like part of it, it's like easy. Cause these people like are expected like, oh, I'm going to take your portrait. Cause it's, you know, and they're like, okay, yeah. But having to ask somebody who necessarily wouldn't want their portrait, like that's strange to me, you know?
Yeah.
I think you should go out and do it, Chris. I think you need to, especially when you're on this black and white kick, you know, you should go.
Yeah.
Black and white is like timeless and classic for street photography. So it's, now's the time, man. Even if you just go out and shoot the back of people's heads, it makes
exactly,
you feel
yes.
a little more confident, you know, give yourself, I always have a shot in mind that I do. It might make it easier saying this, giving this little secret away is when I go out and shoot, I'm always looking for a couple in a loving embrace because I'm doing a project that kind of revolves around like hand holding and being kind of connected and in love. And there's nothing easier than shooting people from behind because they have no idea that you're doing it. But if you can, you know, kind of get up to them and shoot like an up close shot of their hands together or their arms interlocked, you know, it gives you a little more confidence
right.
when you do something like that. You know, when you do, and then you can be like, oh, okay. And on the next one, I'm going to try to get a shot from the front of them holding hands and doing stuff. Yeah, I see that. I like that.
You got to come out to SF.
I know.
It's like love city.
Trying to get
here.
Him on the, we need to do some sort of meetup group hangout thing.
That'd be great.
We're overdue.
You guys can make that happen by going to patreon.com/analogue.
True.
But Yeah, it's I would love to. I mean, traveling is definitely on like the bucket list. Like, I definitely want to just like get in a car and go for as long as I can go, taking photos and doing mm-hmm. something like that. But I feel like that's what I'm practicing for anyways, is when I get the chance to finally go live a dream and do something mm-hmm. that I really want to do.
Yeah.
It's kind of why I still keep the Franklin Project alive, just going down and, you know, because I'm not learning anything if I'm not picking up my camera shooting, so.
It's very true. Are you working on anything, either one of you guys working on any, like, challenges right now?
Like projects? Or just, like, challenges within, like...
Well, either or.
For projects, right now, not really. I'm kind of just... I finished the zine, and then I'm just, like, chilling for a little bit until I can...
When did you finish your zine?
I finished the zine, I believe, the end of February. And so...
How's it feel?
It feels great. It feels great because...
Yeah. That was your first one, right?
That was my first one, yeah. The zine's called Finding Light, and it was... I don't know, there's so much work and then so much time. And then, like, I love the process, but once you're done with it, it just feels so much better because you can just kick back and relax for a little bit.
You're like, I accomplished something. I did it.
Yeah, exactly. And I heard you finished your zine too, right?
Yeah. Yep.
How's that going?
It's good. I actually just ordered a few more. I'm going to do a little giveaway on my YouTube channel.
Ooh. Yay.
With them. So I just got two more, like, and I was like holding them. I was like, ah. This is so rewarding. This is mine.
It's tangible, right?
Yeah.
Did you save one for yourself, Chris? Like, do you have a copy for yourself?
I ordered two for the giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll probably just, in my mind, I was like, I'll order one for the giveaway, one for myself. So that's probably what I'll end up doing. Yeah. I'll probably keep one just to have.
It's nice to have one for yourself just for... Like we were talking about last episode, just kind of taking your best ofs for a year and making a little book out of them.
Yeah, that's one of my like challenges mm-hmm. that I want to do next is like doing a retrospect of years. I thought that was such a great idea.
Yeah, I love that idea.
Like a wrap up.
Yeah, a roundup, wrap up. Yeah, exactly.
Man, challenges, as for me, like I'm just getting up and getting out and shooting, like finding the motivation mm-hmm. after a long work week or, you know, for me, I work at an Irish pub, so it was just St. Paddy's Day and I'm still tired from like that whole weekend.
That looked like it was bananas.
I mean, that's an understatement. It was just, it's our Super Bowl. We call it our Super Bowl every right. year and it hasn't kind of really tapered yet. Like people are still coming in for their corned beef and cabbage and stuff like yep. that. And it's cool. Like I get it. I need to make money. So that's my job. So it's worth working, but it also leaves a little bit of the creative juice left when you work full time. So it's tough to kind of find. That's like a challenge in itself is like what can you do to kind of motivate yourself to get up and get out and do something after you've been completely beaten down at work all week. And I think I've said it before on other episodes, or maybe it was on We Believe in Film, where I use that time of it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks like only walking two different streets to work each week because I shoot a lot of the same stuff. But I'll tell you, the progression of those things that I shoot all the time has gotten so much better. I feel like my framing's gotten better. My confidence in photography has gotten better shooting the same things over and over and over again. And I get some crap talked about it. It's like, oh man, you shoot the same stuff all the time. Are you ever going to do anything different? Are you ever going to go travel anywhere? Are you ever, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it, but I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing it for me. So
yeah, goes back to defending your art.
Yeah,
that right there is—it's a challenge in itself. Like maybe trying to shoot the same things and trying to get something different out of it.
Different,
every single
yes.
time.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Ted Forbes, Art of Photography, did a video on that a while ago. It was kind of just like. Well, I think it was his photo. When I don't even remember if it was like his photo assignments thing or whatever it was, but he was talking about that, like coming at a subject, you know, a couple of different ways, like doing it at like eye level, you know, and then from mm-hmm. above mm-hmm. and from below and from this and that, and then doing something completely different with that subject. Like that's what I do. I have a couple things that I always like to shoot on my way to work. I always like to document. I always find the American flags are always like bent and wrapped around the poles, all weird and funny. So I always like to document those on my walk. So each roll I shoot in my like daily shooter, I have like 15 shots of flags on my camera of the same flags. And then there's like a church steeple that I always shoot because it's got, it usually has like big birds sitting on the cross on the top of the church steeple. So that always looks cool to me. And I'm like a sucker for it. I can't say no to taking that shot. Every time I'm just like, I know I have 20 shots of the same thing, but I have to take it again just because it's fun.
But that's something you could do like a photo series. I think last time we talked about like, you know, just going out and shooting like the color red or something. Yeah. So, photo series are always something I want to find something and focus on that and just do a series. Cause I think even that, you know, it's like super fun. It's cause all that stuff is like just about making sure you're still like, you know, one of the reasons why I love photography is the way like staying inspired makes me feel like, oh, like, so my challenge to myself, I was going to be 30 days of black and white, but 30 days is almost over and I'm like halfway through one roll. So I changed it to my next three rolls are going to be black and white. I'm not going to go back to color until I at least do three rolls.
Yeah.
Just because I know it's going to be something that's completely different than what I'm not used to. And that's going to make me feel like, oh man, like black and white is where it's at. What am I talking about? You know, like. Keeping it fresh for yourself, I guess, is the point of that little ramble. But
no, it's true, though, because just like you said, you're doing black and white. I've been shooting a lot of color, and I'm still debating. I have a little bit of Amazon cash floating there, and I'm like, do I want to get Ektar or do I want to get Portrait? Like, I've been battling because I want to shoot some more color, especially because it's hitting summertime, and I don't shoot enough color. And I can tell that I'm getting complacent and bored and frustrated with the same old. So I feel like if I pick up a 5-pack of Portrait or Ektar or something like that, I think I'll feel a little bit better about going out and shooting and feeling a little more excited about getting out and shooting.
It's like about staying inspired and staying excited. It's like there's so many different film stocks I've never even tried or heard of.
Yeah.
And like I'll see somebody else's work and I'm like, wait, what? Like, what is that? You know, like, I need to try that out because that looks so rad. And I think, like, that goes back to, you know, film photography in general. There's just so many different film stocks, so many different cameras. Like, I spoke about this before on the show. Like, I was getting, I don't know if stagnant's the right word, but, like, with digital, I was just bored, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, film photography came back to me at just the right time where, you know, it got the fire back in my belly, essentially, for photography in general. Just because there's so many different things. And now we have this community, which is even more awesome. But it all, that, I mean, that was, you know, challenged back then, like getting back into film. Like I shot my first roll of film again, because I had learned on film and went to school for photography and we learned on film. And then digital kind of took everybody over. And a buddy of mine was like, you got to shoot a roll of film. So I bought my Elon, which I have right now loaded up with the Kodak 3200. But I shot a roll and then didn't do anything with it for like 2 months. And he kept being like, are you going to get that roll developed? What's up? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then once I got the roll developed, I was like, yo, mind blown. But that's what it's all about, you know? And if you could find little ways like that in your everyday to keep that excitement, I think that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. And like, new film stocks on the topic of that. It's not new, but I've been wanting to shoot it for the longest time. Cinestill 800.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
Yes. Yep.
Man, like I was looking at, I think it was like an old photo Tim took with like, I don't know if it was HP5 or Tri-X pushed really high and he had some like night shots with it. Don't know which film it was, but it kind of inspired me to like try to go out and shoot nighttime photography. Mm-hmm. And that Cinestill looks killer. So I don't know.
Oh, man. The Cine is so cinematic, not to like make a pun out of it, but it's, and I have a buddy of mine who's sending me some of the Vision 3. I think it's the 500T. It's basically it's what they make the Cine out of.
Yeah.
And I want to use that for a bunch of night stuff too. I love nighttime photography. Like going out and doing some long exposures is always fun to do. Just because it's something you don't see, you know, like you don't see with your natural eye, like you don't get to see all the light crevices and stuff that it get exposed when you do like a 5-minute exposure out in the dark. You know, it's pretty cool. It's fun.
Do you ever feel afraid going out at night taking pictures?
Not here. I live in like the nicest, you know, leave your doors unlocked Please don't come to my house because I said that area. But, you know, I live in the South, and it's like, I think we got rated the number one best Southern town in Southern Living magazine or something like that. So it's,
yeah, you're pretty safe.
It's super chill here. Like, I'm not worried about that, but I could see like being, you know, kind of where you guys are is a little different than here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in the hood, so it's, I get it. I get what that's like. And I definitely know, you know, how to handle myself in a situation like that. But I, yeah, not here. I'm not worried about it here.
Tim is hood.
oh man, if you only knew. But you know, I kind of miss, like, when I go home, when I go to visit my family and stuff, and I go do stuff around there, I almost miss that feeling. Like, it's a little too safe here, you know. Like, I feel like I need like the darker side of life. Like, I'm into that kind of stuff, like, not as in living it, but like documenting it. Like, right. I wish there were more seedy areas here, because that's really what I want to shoot. I want to shoot the drug dealers, the lowlifes, the, you know, the
you could come out in Hollywood at
the
night.
The gangsters and stuff like that. Like, I would love to just like roll to the hood and like get to be friends with those dudes. And just, do you ever see Boogie? He's a photographer. He hangs out with gangs and stuff like that. He documents a lot of like street gangs. He had a whole project based on that. Like, dude, he's got some of the coolest pictures of dudes like holding guns like right into the camera and stuff, and you know people doing drugs and stuff. Like, that's what I want to shoot. I want to shoot that stuff so bad.
That'd be a cool project.
I clearly live in the wrong area for that. That's not something that happens here.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but getting back on that, you know, I think you should try Cine out, because it's a little expensive, especially if you get it on Amazon. I think it's like $17 a roll or something like that.
Yeah.
But what? Like,
that's the only thing that's holding me back from really like getting into it, because I know if I like it, I'm going to want
more. Yeah, you're doomed.
Yeah, I'm doomed.
I picked up two rolls for a job that I had that I was like, oh, I'll definitely use these for, it was like band photos or something like that, and ended up not even using them. And just went out and shot two rolls consecutively around here. And I mean, it's just got that 80s, 90s movie feel to it. Like you're watching like RoboCop or something crazy, you know? It's cool. Yeah. It's a good film.
Do you ever shoot the Daylight, the 50 Daylight?
Uh-uh.
Never.
Yeah. Nope. I feel like the tungsten is like everybody's favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's tungsten based. It's like dark, you know what I mean? The daylight, I feel like the daylight stock kind of, I would rather just shoot like a Kodak, you know what I mean? Like a Kodak film instead of, I don't know why that film exists, really. I'm going to get a lot of hate for that probably saying that. I'm sorry, don't hate me.
I mean, it serves its purpose. I've seen some cool stuff.
I mean, does it look the same? Does it have that like bluish tint?
It definitely looks, the thing is, it's like, both of the films look so different than normal.
Yeah.
You know, like there's something about it just in general, which I think is really cool.
Agreed.
I feel like that 800T, like the only thing that I've ever seen 800T with is like incorporated with neon lights or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So like when I get that, I forgot who posted, but there's a picture of a car at like a diner and it was like on 800T and it had like these nice neon lights. I can't remember his name, but. Man,
it's gotta be gorgeous.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's how that film is though. It's like, it's definitely meant for, you know, cityscapes at night.
Right.
You know, like New York City would be awesome to shoot Cine Still in.
Yeah.
Imagine shooting Cine Still out in a field. That's a challenge for you.
Yeah, right.
It's been done. I did an interview for a magazine that's coming out in the summertime. A buddy of mine's putting together a magazine, and he shot a roll of 800T, and we were outside. And in my mind, I was thinking, like, man, this is going to be very blue and weird looking. But when he got the shots back, I was really impressed with them. They looked awesome for, you know, again, like, rules are meant to be broken with this thing. So taking a tungsten-based film and shooting it outside is definitely, I mean, you can do it as long as you have. I mean, you can fix the tones in Lightroom, and there's also a filter that you can use too, an orange filter. It's like a something something B orange. I had one at one point, but I never used it, so I got rid of it.
When you shoot your black and white, do you typically use a filter?
Yes and no.
I was gonna say, asking for a friend, no, asking for me.
I It really depends on, like, if it's a super sunny day and there's no, like, sky, you know, if it's just blue skies, I'll use no filter. But when there's, like, super cloud, you know, it's, like, super cloudy or overcast, I'll use an orange filter or a yellow. If you get into the red, it crushes your blacks a little too much, like, where you can't make out facial features and stuff.
I see.
So, but, man, if you're doing like any kind of landscape, like you're shooting like an old barn or something with an awesome sky in the background, if you put on like a yellow or an orange filter, it makes the sky look almost like you're shooting with, what's that film called? Infrared. It almost makes it seem like you're using like an infrared film. You know, it just really makes the sky look weird. Like the blue parts that stick out of the clouds are black and are gray. You know, it's just, I don't know. Yeah, I use an orange filter or a yellow filter occasionally.
Cool. Good to know.
You got to get a good one, though. Like, look and get like a Hoya or something like that. Because if you get one of those like cheap, what are they called? Oh, I can't think of the name. It's like that cheapo company that you can find anything. I have their lights. It's like, oh, I can't think of it. But I have one of their filters, and it's a yellow one, and it's
awful. I think I know what you're talking about.
The sun flare is just, it's terrible.
Is it newer?
Yes, newer.
Yes.
It's a newer filter. And it was
I know what you're talking about.
It was like $10 for like a whole case of filters. Like, that's when you know that they're not going to be that good.
Yeah.
Because my orange Hoya was like a $50 filter. So
right. Filters go for
filters can be pricey, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
I appreciate it, though. Like, I tried using a red filter for a while when I was shooting my Canonette, and they just crushed everything out way too much. I think you have to push a lot more when you use a red filter or develop it. My buddy Joe told me a way of doing it, and I can't remember. He did a whole project like that. He did like a, oh, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to say what it is and get it wrong. So ignore what I was just saying, guys.
All right, guys, this is the part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Daryl James. On Instagram, he's daryljames.film. He says, hey, Chris and Timothy, question for the podcast. Social media certainly may not be the most ideal way to share your photographs, but at this point in time, it's obviously the most convenient way. In your opinion, what is the best way to share your work to other people? More importantly, what do you find to be the most personally satisfying? Who wants to go first? Jonathan?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
So social media, like he said, it's one of the easiest, most convenient. Something I've done was like, you know, when you lay out for a zine, you print out little 4x6s and then you set them up on the table. Well, I've taken like a bunch of 4x6s and then hung out with some buddies at a coffee shop. And we just kind of look through each other's pictures. And then the people who are there, you know, they're all knocked up with espresso and they're just like, yo, what are you guys doing? You know what I mean? So people would just start to look. So I think that's one of them. Maybe just trying to go into like a coffee shop, probably not a bar, but like, you know, just trying to interact with whoever's there, show them your pictures. And then I think it's like by word of mouth, you know, they'll be like, oh yeah, I've seen that guy here before. He's a photographer. He has some pretty cool images. And then that's kind of how I guess other than social media, just share my photos.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I also, you know, another way to do things too is to sell, like selling your work, you know, getting your work kind of out there, maybe not even selling it, just kind of giving it away, or that it's hanging in friends and families, you know, spare bedrooms or something like that. Like, I had a lady that worked at a cupcake shop here in town, and her son played guitar for what is that country girl's name? What's that like blonde haired country girl that's like super popular? She's Taylor younger. Swift. No.
That's what I was like, Taylor Swift. She's not country anymore though.
Oh, I can't think of her name. And my mom would hate me for not knowing her name because my mom like loves her. But anyway, it's like some famous country singers. It's like in her, you know, in her spare bedroom is a photo of Franklin that I took. That's definitely one way to get your work
that's
out
awesome.
There. And I also have a couple places downtown here. There's a jewelry store that has a photo of mine hanging up in it. I'm about to have some more stuff hanging up at the pub that I work at. You know, getting your stuff out there, going to little stores and stuff like that. Like, you know, you did a zine. you guys did zines, and you know, since they're kind of like Chris, you did one on LA, you know,
yeah,
like, so that would be pretty easy for you to go down to little stores and being like, hey, I got this little book, it's about LA.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know, yeah. can I sell like 3 or 4 of them here, can I set them here and see if anybody wants to buy them, you know. It definitely taking the tangible, taking the things and getting those kind of in people's hands and getting real views on them, not like just Instagram views, is I say a way more effective way. Because, you know, Instagram, we all know that like scrolling through a feed,
right,
is instant. I mean, they call it Instagram, like it's gone as soon as it's there, you know. And
right,
I feel like making sure that your work is real and alive is kind of a really, really solid way of kind of getting it out there and being seen. And you know, it also wouldn't hurt to try to, you know, we have a magazine here. It's called This Williamson or something like that. You know, like one of my goals is to get in that magazine, you know, to be, mm-hmm, or be a part of Nashville Art Magazine and get in there and have a little, you know, work to try to be seen in more than just the internet, you know, try to get in local publications or try to have a little spot at a coffee shop where 3 or 4 of your photos are hung up for sale for 20 or 40 bucks or something like that. Get your zine in a place or something, you know. That's, I think, like the real physical hard way is definitely the way to go with that.
That's your most satisfying.
Oh yeah, dude. Seeing when I walk past that jewelry store, because the photo that I took of the old owner is literally right in the window, like I see it with his old Rolex, it's like sitting right in the window, and
that's
like,
so cool.
I'm like, dude, I took that shot, and there's nothing
that's
better
so cool
than seeing that.
Yeah, for me, I think, I mean, I really like Instagram just in general, but I have my little film only Instagram, and I just like the layout of the photos are all kind of lined up together. So for me, like, even posting, because I try and do one a day on that account, and I've like posted a picture and like deleted it because it doesn't look good with the rest of them, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of satisfying for me, because it just I like the way it all presents itself all together. It's like a place to go to see, like, this is what my film photography looks like, and it's all right here in this little nice symmetrical grid, you know. So I really like my little Instagram film account.
Actually, I was thinking about it with what Chris was saying too, like the Instagram stuff. Oh man, do you guys have any like galleries, like smaller galleries maybe? I don't know, because in the SF area, there's so many creatives and so many photographers. And
oh, I'm
like,
sure, yeah.
Yeah, they all come together and they're like, yo, we're going to rent out this shop for like a couple months. Let's run our own gallery through it. And there's this coffee shop in SF called George and Lenny's across the street. They made their own little gallery featuring, you know, the people who work there.
That's
and
awesome.
Some of the other people that shoot film. And so, yeah, that's another way. People come over there to see other people's work. Also, bookstores, like local bookstores.
Oh, yeah.
I've asked before. I was like, yo, if I make a zine, would you mind? Like Tim, like what Tim was saying. He was like, can I sell maybe a couple of zines here? And they've all been down for it. Fortunately, I didn't get a chance to do that, but I think that'd be dope, you know.
That's a really great idea. Yeah. I think I might try that too. There's kind of on the, I live off what's called Ventura Boulevard in Laurel Canyon. There's on that Laurel Canyon, there's a Laurel Canyon like magazine outside, you know, like you see on the movies where it's just like still like just a whole big rack of like magazines and books and stuff. I might peruse over there and see what I can do about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely worth at least trying, because I mean, I don't know, like, I don't think about the majority of the people that I look at on Instagram. I think about the people that I've spent the couple bucks to buy a print from them or bought a book, or, you know, they kind of live on a little bit longer than, you know, the Instagram thing. And man, there was something else I wanted to add to that I was thinking when you were talking, Chris, that I can't remember what it was. Oh yeah, that's what it was. Pop-ups, like pop-up shops and all kinds of stuff like that are like all the rage right now, you know. Get your, just like Jonathan said, get your buddies together and, you know, even if it's like a house show or something like that, get one
really
of your friends
good idea.
Bands to play, get some, you know, get some beverages, line up a couple walls of a couple different artists' work. And I've been mentally planning that, and there was an abandoned building, not an abandoned building, but it was a storefront that was empty for the longest time down here. And I was like, I wonder what I can do. Like, I wanted to contact them and be like, I want to put put on a show here since you guys aren't making any money on this. Like, let me rent this out for one night. You know, I'll pay you a couple hundred bucks. You know, there's put on shows, do things, have fun,
yeah.
Print your work.
This is a great question.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you for sending that in, Daryl. That was just like stuff like that can get us all riled up and juiced, you know? It's
yeah,
cool.
I'm fired.
That's a
I'm
great
fired
idea.
Up.
The next segment we like to ask our guests, Jonathan, is what's your favorite camera if you had to pick one? Which is a tough question, and I'm sure just think about it for a second.
So that question actually isn't that tough.
Ooh.
And I got to rep the Minolta gang.
There you go.
It's the Minolta X700, hands down. And
nice.
Actually, it wasn't my first film camera. I had like a Minolta HTSI Plus, which is like, it's very similar to like a Canon Rebel film camera. But the X700 was the second one, and it was like that classic look to it.
Ooh, yeah.
And man, at one point I owned like two, because I was like, if one of them breaks, I have another one.
Yeah,
so that
backup.
But I sold that one off. But man, like, it's so hard to go shoot and like pick cameras because the X700 is always in my mind.
It is.
As for the lens though, it's like the 45 millimeter. Right now that's what I've been enjoying just because it's like super tiny and small.
Yeah.
And hands down, yeah, that's my favorite camera.
That's a great answer. It's a good camera.
Yeah, I have one. My photo guru, Mr. Bob, I've talked about him a million times on here. he's actually got an X700 sitting for me down at the at his little store. I'm going to pop down there this afternoon after we're done.
Nice.
Yeah, he got it for free at a thrift shop because he knows it. I mean, he's just a crazy mason, so he knows everybody in town.
Cool.
Good answer.
All right, guys. So right now we're excited to do our very first Patreon spotlight.
Yay.
So you may have seen it already on our social media, but we're going to spotlight Patreon supporters. So for the $25 Patreon mark, we do a spotlight on our show and on our Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. So our very first one is Justin Holt. And here's a little bit about Justin. He's a 35-year-old photographer in his 20th year of shooting both film and digital. He's worked in everything from weddings to commercial photography. Now he mostly plays around with film cameras for fun, although he does have a business where he helps local businesses run their social media accounts. He's the president of the Darkroom Project in Peterborough, Ontario, where they have the longest-running darkroom in Canada.
Dude, I would love to work in that darkroom.
Me too. You can find his work on Instagram at @filmshow and also on his podcast, www.notafraidofgrain.com. So everybody go check out Justin. And thank you, Justin, so, so much for supporting our show. Things like this help us move forward and grow. And we have a lot of plans for this little show that we would love everybody's help just so we could keep doing this for you guys because we really do love it so much. So thank you, Justin Holt.
Thank you, Justin. And I mean, he definitely knows what he's doing. He's hooked me up with OBS and got me going on my live streams.
Nice.
He sent me pictures of the darkroom that he works at. It just looks amazing. Like, I would love to be a part
of
that.
Yeah, he's doing awesome stuff for the film photography community. So
yeah, guys,
everybody go check him out.
@filmshow
is his Instagram.
Cool.
Well, speaking of checking people out, where can everybody check you out, Jonathan?
Oh, you can check me out on my Instagram at King Japes, KING. JVPS. The V is just an upside down A. Same thing on the YouTube channel. It's the same name.
This has been awesome, Jonathan. Thank you so much for joining us. We've had a blast chatting with you.
Oh, man. Thank you guys so much for having me. It was awesome.
Timothy, where can they check you out?
All right, guys. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related videos, and those are currently living on youtube.com/TimothyMakeupsDitzler. That's a mouthful. And I also do a weekly podcast, just lone wolf style. It's me, you know, just talking about the pros and cons of what I love about this thing. And that's called We Believe in Film. That also lives on my YouTube channel, as well as a SoundCloud, which is just, I think it's just my name, maybe Timothy Makeups, like go to SoundCloud, or you can just go to SoundCloud and search it. If you don't have YouTube Red, and it kind of makes it hard to just listen to the audio of that, so you can just go to SoundCloud and listen to it on there. But yeah, how about you, Chris? Where you at?
Cool. So I'm Chris B. Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. That film Instagram account I was talking about was Chris B. Shoots Film. That's where I put all my film stuff. The podcast on Twitter, we're Analog Talk Pod. On Instagram, we're Analog Talk Podcast. We also have a Facebook page you can like and a group you can join. And again, love chatting with you guys on the Facebook group. And on Patreon, we are patreon.com/analogtalk.
Woo.
Yeah. All right, guys. This has been awesome. Thank you again, Jonathan.
Always. Minota gang.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in the next one.
All right. So first off, I'd like to thank Jonathan for being on the show. Fun interview. I've been waiting a while to talk with him, so it was a lot of fun. But this is the part of the show where I remind you guys about our Patreon. You can go to www.patreon.com/analogtalk. There we have a bunch of perks. I mean, for $1, $5, I think you get, you know, an infinite thank you and some stickers. $10, you get stickers and a pin. And $25, you get your Instagram account featured and, you know, your work, your website. If you do a podcast or something like that, and you have the chance to be a guest on our show, which is really cool, and I can't wait to have our first Patreon, $25 Patreon on the show. So head on over there and check it out. All the support helps. We appreciate each and every single one of you, especially the listeners. If you get a chance, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. That would be awesome. We would greatly appreciate that as well. Leave a comment. Let us know what you like about the show. And yeah, that's about it. I will see you guys next week. Later.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.